offense is coming to Cleveland soon. Well, I guess 6 years from now. The good news is a Guardians minor league team scored 28 runs in a game. The bad news, they scored it against their own teammates. DSL, ACL, if you don't know what those are, we'll fill you in. Minor league action started from the complex leagues on Monday evening. We're going to talk about some names to know from there. And, of course, the MLB draft segment of the week and mailbag questions on today's episode of Locked On Guardians.
You are Locked On Guardians, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Guardians, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the show. Today's show is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. It's mailbag, it's draft, it's Farm Friday. We don't got time for anything else. Justin, let's go right into Farm Friday.
It's not Friday though, Jeff. It's Tuesday.
Yeah, but you know, I'm wishing for Friday because Friday I'm done with school.
And Friday, you get rid of me. I'm gone on vacation for 2 weeks. That's what Jeff's really rooting for. He's ready.
I will give a quick tease ahead. So next week, I'm going to touch on the guys who've been released, you know, give everyone their moment to shine. And we will do that episode, I promised, of like Shane Bieber, all 30 teams, like likelihood of it happening.
Yeah, I will be out all of next week. And yeah, I'll return on the 19th. But more on that later. Okay.
If he chooses to come back from paradise, Justin may never come back. This could be his last few
seasons. There's not a lot of baseball in Jamaica, so I don't know. I probably have to come back. I don't know.
Work from home anywhere, right? Like, isn't that?
I can. Just I don't know what the cost of living in Jamaica is, and I don't know what they pay teachers. My fiance is also a teacher too, so I don't know what the going rate for teachers is in Jamaica. I'll let you know though if it's good. You can move there with us.
Okay.
We can do the show 2 p.m. local time as the Guardians are playing back in Cleveland. All right. Let's quickly get into around the farm. So first up, Jack Leftwich had six no-hit innings. This week, he had four strikeouts and a walk. He was named pitcher of the week in the Eastern League. Jose Tan, I think, was like 7-for-11. He had like a four-hit game on Saturday in the Akron's 15-run outburst. So he's had a couple of good games now. That's good for Jose Tan, obviously. He was the Eastern League hitter of the week. And Ryan Webb threw 7 innings, struck out 8. I believe he only gave up a hit or two in Lake County over the weekend. So he got pitcher of the week honors in the Midwest League. All good signs for those gentlemen who the Guardians would like to see good signs from, especially Jack Leftwich. He gave up 12 earned runs in his previous two starts combined. So having a 6 no-hit hitting effort, certainly a good change of fortune for him. Will Dion promoted to Double A Akron this week. Not really a big lot of fanfare behind that, but he is pitching Thursday for Akron, so he is out of the Lake County rotation into AA. No corresponding move in Lake County for that. Parker Messick remains in Lynchburg. Good week for Dion Frias as well in Lake County. We have a question on him later. We'll touch on him a little bit more. But he's having a really good start to the year. So 124 plate appearances, more walks than strikeouts. The strikeout rate is 14%, really good. Slugged a couple of home runs, 3 steals. I really like where he's at right now, 20-year-old. He'll be 21 here by the end of the month. And I think he could get Double A this year as well if they have room for him. But I really like the improvements this year he's made in contact. And he's got the ball in the air too, 42% fly ball rate. So able to pull the ball too in the air. That's good. As we said, the Complex League. So the ACL is the Arizona Complex League. Used to be the Arizona Rookie League. And the DSL is the Dominican Summer League. So these are your, you know, international signings, your high school players, your just college draft picks, guys that are hurt and rehabbing. So I'm just going to quickly really run through some DSL prospects you're going to want to know about. So obviously the first is Welvin Francisca. Welvin Francisca had a hell of a first game to start the season. He went 5-for-7 with a home run and a triple and had 3 RBIs. Going to show you his home run real quick. All right, well, that was Welvin Francisco's home run. If you watched on YouTube, hit it to the left, hit it to right field, the switch hitter. So obviously he's really good. We know all about Welvin Francisco. We're going to address him later in the show too, because we got a question on that. Jose Perella good tall outfielder. He went 2 for 3 with two walks and a home run and a double as well. I'd keep an eye on him. He's probably a little more swing and miss in his game, but a guy who was playing center field and could grow into a bigger frame. Yankee Baptiste, he was signed a year ago as a middle infielder. He was playing first base. This is not uncommon. Some of these guys grow into their bodies really quickly. Junior San Quentin was signed as a shortstop prospect when he was signed way back when. He is now far too big to play anything but first base. Yankee Baptiste isn't that big yet, but I think he will get there. So he may no longer be a middle infielder. He was playing first base, and we'll keep an eye on that too. But he was a big prospect a year ago. Luis Aparicio. Yes, if you're thinking the name is familiar, yes, he is the grandson of former Cleveland Indians great Luis Aparicio. So he is in the Dominican Summer League as well. So you want to keep an eye on that name, obviously, for family ties. That's always exciting, you know, as well.
Who doesn't love Michael Keaton? I'm kidding.
I don't have a reference on that. So
the TV show Family Ties.
No, yeah, who doesn't love him? Okay. Arizona Complex League prospects to know about. Jackson Humphreys, who was a high school pick a year ago. He's starting out down there in the high school or the, yeah, well, the high school, the Arizona Complex League. He's in the rotation down there, so it'll be fun to keep an eye on him. Javier Santos, obviously, was a pick a year ago as well. Keep an eye on him. He was at Georgia Southern Premier Academy as well, who was obviously where Daniel Espino went. Jeff, you have a thought there?
Well, no, I just got something fun to throw in at the end here.
Okay, Logan Clark, also a high school pick a year ago, the only catcher the Guardians took in the draft. We talked about him a few weeks ago. I think we mentioned that on Instagram. We saw that his physique has improved since he's been drafted.
Significantly.
So, yes, he looks like he's in very good shape, very toned. So that's a good sign for him because, you know, there were some concerns about that. Victor Asturiz, he is the nephew of Macy Asturiz. And who is the other Asturiz in the majors?
I'm having a blank as well. But he was a big bonus kid too. He was a big bonus kid for them.
So his uncle was one of the infielders for the Angels, really good infielder. Asturiz, I spelled that wrong if you're watching on YouTube though, but he is catching in the ACL, so keep an eye on him. That's a name to know. Infielder Rafael Ramirez, also another name you're gonna want to know. He got into some spring training games this year with the big league club, so they like him a little bit. Everyone's going to, if you don't already know Jason Churio, you should. He is playing center field in the first bit of action out in Arizona Complex League tonight as we're recording this on Monday. You'll see him this Tuesday. Actually, fun note, he is playing center and over in right field, Chase DeLauder. So you can get a little bit excited about some of these outfielders down there. Chase DeLauder, I think, will definitely be out of there sometime this month, maybe July, once they build his volume up and he's healthy. I don't know where he'll go. I'm guessing Lynchburg, but. I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Chorio finds his way to Lynchburg by the end of the year as well, provided things go well. And then the last guy who's actually a teenager is Jose Gomez. Had a ton of power in the DSL last year. A lot of strikeouts, not really their typical guy right now, but hit for a rare amount of power in the DSL last year. So worth keeping an eye on there. And then three guys rehabbing. So you have Steven Hajar, who started tonight's game for the Arizona Complex League. He's healthy now, so hopefully he gets back to affiliate sometime soon. Ross Carver, who came over in the Carlos Vargas trade from Arizona. He was off to a good start in Akron, got hurt. He is rehabbing and pitching this week in Arizona. Another high school guy I liked a year ago, too, is Tommy Ventimiglia, no relation to Milo. He is also on the ACL roster to start the season. So another high school guy that, you know, all the high school guys that they picked last year are staying down there and are always keeping an eye on because you never know.
So, you know, going through these stats right now and just kind of looking at the other side of it, it is one of the things that stands out is like, if you want to look at guys who have 110 plate appearances, like who are the top five performers in terms of like weighted runs created plus, Nate Furman, who was kind of old for the level. Juan Brito. Juan Brito, kind of old for the level. Christian
Juan
Castro.
Juan Brito's not old for the level.
21. Well, no, I at high A. At high A, he was in line. You're right. Furman
now
was.
He's young in double A.
Now he's young. Christian Cairo at high A at 22 is a little bit. I mean, 21 is kind of your average.
He's turning 22 like in 2 weeks, man.
Oh, so the age is listed wrong.
It's because he hasn't had his birthday yet. But that guy's been in Lake County for 3 years, man. Not to crap on him, but
Ryan Frias, who you talked about, and then Guy Lincecum. So those are your top five performers in terms of weighted runs created plus. slugging, Zach Collins and Daniel Schneeman. If you want to talk actual prospects, it's Bo Naylor, and you have to go through a bunch of guys. I mean, Chris Roller, who's not a, really a prospect, but Rocchio, Brito, Bracho, Gonzalez, Frias. And if you're just kind of, it's the same story with pitching. Cat wants to make a ton of noise in the background right now. If you look at FIP, it's guys like Tyler Thornton, who's 22, Magnus Ellenertz, who's 22, Will Dion, who's 23, Bybee, Allen, Messick. I think that's a big takeaway. Is a lot of these pitchers really need, we need to start bumping guys. Guys need to start moving on up. That is my takeaway. Austin Peterson being 23 and an A-ball. Let's start the rise.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about a few weeks ago when we were doing this about getting more aggressive with promoting prospects. They are not typically aggressive promoting prospects, and I feel like they need to be because, this is becoming an issue with them. And they've only challenged a handful of guys, but I wanted to have – we can have a whole talk about that, to be honest with you, yes, at another time. So we're going to – that's the Around the Farm segment this week. We're going to get into the MLB draft and then your mailbag questions coming up here soon. Hey, if you're looking for tickets to the College World Series, we're talking about the MLB draft here in just a second. Don't stress about finding tickets. Use the Game Time app. They have flash deals and last minute tickets. You can find tickets for any event out there, whether it's sports, music, comedy, theater, all that kind of good stuff. Killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee. You can stop stressing over the tickets and just start getting excited about the event. And they have the lowest price guarantee as well as images of your seat. So download the Game Time app today, create an account, use the code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time.
And don't forget to check out the game this week against the Red Sox on SiriusXM. Just type Guardians into SiriusXM. They'll take you right to the games. Sorry, I'm having a moment as my cat is deciding to be the biggest jerk in existence. If you saw my tweet, you know exactly what just happened and why I had that look on my face. So let's first get into pitcher abuse. Your arm might hurt. You might be having a rough day, but I'll tell you what, it's not going to hurt as much tomorrow as Tanner Hall. So I can't let this go. And there's going to be people like, it's an important game. Yeah, it's also important that he has a chance at a career. Like, Cal Fullerton used to be, like, known for, like, Arm Abuse Central. Rice used to be known as Arm Abuse Central. And what is arm abuse? It is throwing 123 pitches on Friday and then 3 days later having you start a game. Yes, he only went two innings, but Tanner Hall should not throw 3 days later, no matter what. And he shouldn't have thrown 123 pitches to begin with. At the same time, I will say, at least in that case, it was a tie game when it was late. It was a 1-1 affair. They ended up losing. The one that might be worse is Paul Skeens throwing a complete game, 124 pitches on Friday against Tulane. Tulane, who is the worst team in the playoffs. The College Baseball World Series, I guess, is what we, you know, is the official name. But, like, there's no reason to run your guy out there and run him out like that. My goodness, bad, bad coaching all around. I'm just going to call it both out. You don't need to overwork Skeens. Keep him fresh. You need him if you're LSU. And in terms of Hall, like, that should get a coach fired, in my opinion. Like, you can't do that. I don't care what the kid says. You're the adult. And you're like, no, sorry. You pitched your absolute heart out. Let the rest of the team take care of this. It's a bad call. I don't care. You can comment in the comments below, and I'll just be like, sorry, I don't agree. Literally, that's what I will say to you. But, you know, some people like to talk about toughness, and it often seems to be a fake toughness when it's those things. Let's talk about some names in this draft. So one of those guys that I think I wish we got to see a little bit more this year is Travis Honeyman. He is probably a guy that fans would not like just because he's not really a power player. But why I think he's a name to know under the radar for the Guardians is one of the things I've talked about before, which is they like to look at the previous year's data. And he had quite a strong year in as a sophomore in 2022. 329, 402, 506 slugging. This year he got hurt, so only played in 39 games. If you go and you look at his Cape data, he was one of the better performers in the Cape. So you have good athletic tools, cold weather guy. He is a right-handed bat, as Sabonis. You know, people always talk about we need more right-handed bats.
Right-handed power bat. I feel like it's 2012 again.
Not really power, though. He's kind of like, you know, he's hit over power, as they say. Last year, struck out 8% of the time. This year was at 11. It has a lot of things they typically look for. It may not be the most exciting pick if they take him in the first round. It's a massive money savings deal. There is a world, I think, where he slides to the second round just because of the lack of power and the lack of chances to show himself. But he was a guy who was top 20 on every board heading into the year, which if you think about it, like a year ago, the Lauder was top 5 on every board after the Cape. If not some places, number 1, and then, you know, injury plague junior year, good athletic tools. Just saying you can connect that stuff. Andrew Walters is a guy I've been threatening to talk about for a bit. I don't know where you draft Andrew Walters. He has been one of the steadiest pitchers in college baseball. Excellent control, excellent command. He actually had a higher K rate than Ben Joyce a year ago. But he is essentially a one pitch guy. And it's a fastball. And it's a great fastball. He can move it. He can spot it. But I don't know if he's got a secondary pitch. And for a while there, I thought it was like terrible. Miami didn't make him a starter. And then I watched it. And I'm like, oh no, now I get it. Like he can't work as a starter even in college. He is essentially a one pitch guy. He could be in the majors in a year. He's a senior. He is one of the oldest players in this class. He's going to be a senior sign for someone. But if you want to put money on someone getting to the big leagues quick and helping a bullpen and more of a setup role, like I think Walters is a name to know. Going through this list, Jace Bohef did not start out at Arkansas. I believe it was like Texas A&M, transferred out. Here's the thing with the 2020 class. The 2020 class was an absolute disaster for all of these kids because everyone got extra eligibility. So I just wrote up Max Anderson today for Prospects Live, and Max Anderson was supposed to go to Texas A&M, but they kept a bunch of guys, and Max Anderson no longer had a scholarship offer. Instead, you know, he went to Nebraska and set the Big Ten home run record this year for single season play, non-playoff based, just the pure season. But Heffron did go to, I believe it was A&M. I could be wrong there. And just there wasn't a spot for him because, again, A&M had a bunch of guys they were expecting to be gone who did not. And then, you know, at Arkansas, he didn't jump right into it. You know, it took him a little bit of time to excel, really, by a little bit of time. It wasn't until this year. It was Oklahoma's where he went. I pulled it up. And then he didn't really play a ton because Arkansas had a bunch of outfielders there. And this year he finally gets his opportunity. And he's one of those names that's been slowly rising throughout the process. Has been on the Cape the last 2 years. He was really good in 2021 on the Cape. But you got a guy who's been a Cape performer, has, you know, his strikeout rate this year is a little higher at 24%. He walks some. He has some power with the 15 home runs. He's more of a power over hit guy, but excelled at Arkansas, which Arkansas is another program that's had a lot of draft picks, but doesn't have a lot to show for it.
Oh, Javon McClure. I know he didn't go to Arkansas to start, but he went back there playing football.
Arkansas recruit, that's Dylan Howard.
He was a high school kid, right, though?
Yeah, he was just, yeah. But both him, they take Howard 1 year and then McClure the next year. So that's my joke, because they like all the recruits. And then, you know, oof, didn't go well for those recruits in the Cleveland system. But Heffron's played really well. He's one of those outfielders to pay attention to. I feel like I talked about Mitch Jebb. Did I just not delete him last time? I'm pretty sure I talked about him last
time. I saw him, and I don't like comps like this in general, but someone had a Jeff McNeil comp on him. I thought that was interesting.
No.
No?
No. Okay. No, he doesn't have that type of power or hit tool. He's Big Ten Ernie Clement.
Okay, that's fair. No. That's fair. Hey, no. But Ernie Clement was a Virginia hitter. He was screwed to begin with.
Because Michigan State's program has produced such luminaries.
That's fair.
You know, at least Virginia's got a few.
I cannot name you one Major League Baseball player from Michigan State right now. None. I can't name you one.
There's a pitcher. I'm blanking. I'm not good with that stuff in general. Like, you know, I know for certain programs, I feel like there's been a few pitchers, and there's probably someone screaming at their screen right now.
I'm sure.
And then, listen, Chase Davis is the other guy. I just want to kind of get out here. I think this is, yeah, he's the last guy from my last few lists. So Chase Davis is an excellent athlete, California kid who struggled his first few years at Arizona. Like, he was a guy who was, you know, famous since high school and just didn't quite get it together. until this year. And he is, interestingly, a player who is a bit divisive. His Cape Cod data wasn't great last year, so he's probably not a Cleveland target. And the one thing I do want to warn about is, again, Arizona and Arizona State are really hitter-friendly parks. I kind of typically, in my big boards, am lower on hitters from those schools. And Davis did have 18 home runs last year. So while he's in a 997 OPS, but this year he, you know, the strikeout rate went from 22% to 14%. That's great. Like, he has made some things. I'm going to have him in my top 30, but I was lower on Susak. I was lower on a lot of guys. I kind of got burned by the Newmans and Kingeries of the world. So he has been a top level performer. He's got great athletic traits, but his issue is hitting with wood and, you know, and his issue just in terms of where he plays make me a little leery. Elk Grove kid, much like former draft pick Nick Madrigal. But yeah, it's going to be a fun class, and it's totally a year where they can find someone who has performed very well. And, you know, I certainly look forward to seeing how this draft plays out, because they are in the catbird seat to catch a sliding talent. And what we're going to do right now is go ahead and catch a sliding ad break right here and come back and take your questions. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. So I'm very honest about my issues, my ADD. I'm on Vyvanse for that currently. And I always joke that ADD, as a teacher, I often hear, oh, my kid is AD, what's it now? It's ADDH. And when I was a kid, it was ADHD. But it's like, and they have anxiety. I'm like, no, ADHD as an adult, I can say, is an anxiety disorder. So I know all about having anxiety. And one of the best ways to deal with high anxiety is to have someone you can talk to. And for me, that's my wife. But sometimes it's also nice to have someone who is, you know, not the person you're living with, someone who doesn't have to always try to make you feel better. Sometimes you need a bit of a kick in the pants or an outside perspective. And that's exactly what BetterHelp can bring. And, you know, when you sign up for BetterHelp, it's on your schedule when you are available. It's the, if you've ever wanted to try therapy, there's no better time. Your schedule, it's online, flexible to you. If you get a licensed therapist and you don't mesh well, guess what? You can get a new one at no cost. So find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lockdownmlb today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockdownmlb.
Tuesday night, the Guardians and Red Sox are in action. Search Guardians on your Sirius XM app to listen to the Hometown Call with Tom Hamilton and Jim Rosenhaus. Should be a good one. We'll touch on that just as we get out of here, but it is question time, Jeff. All right, this one comes from our friend Samantha Button, who does a great job with a bunch of other content.
Before we do that, Steve Garvey and Kirk Gibson are your best hitters in the history of
Michigan State.
Michigan State. So very recent, current, obviously. Yeah. Very. Then Robin Roberts, the Hall of Famer from the 40s, Mike Marshall from the 60s to 80s, and Frank Owen. The most recent guy you have is Mark Mulder. That's who I couldn't think. I knew there was a recent pitcher. It was Mark Mulder.
Okay, so it's been quite a while since Michigan State has produced a good player. All right, well, our friend Samantha from NBC Sports and a couple other things she does. She's a
very cool person. We nearly did an OOTP league together. It fell apart. Nice. I was very sad about that. She was interested in that, and I tried to get together. It just didn't happen, but she's a cool person.
Yeah. Well, she said, hi, pals. Any thoughts on projections on Isaiah Green's future? Numbers look pretty bad. Discouraging. Liked him as a lotto ticket component of the Lindor trade. So, yeah, I've seen him a couple times this year, and I have to say I'm not super thrilled with the defense. Like, the speed, he's obviously got good speed, but just the way he plays defense, he's really a left fielder only. Like, there's not a lot in center field to like there, unfortunately. The swing is just a mess. I will say I've seen when he's made contact, there has been some significant pop. So, like, I thought there was more raw power in there than than I thought previously. Yeah. But he is just not making any kind of contact. The swing is just very messy and
kind of a passive guy, too.
Yes, he's a very, very passive hitter. He just takes and takes and takes. And
what's interesting with him was he was taken before Petey Halpin. He was might have been a comp pick to no, because they don't give comp picks. So it must have
he
just
was a comp.
Been,
he was a comp B, yeah. Or a second round comp, I should say.
Did the Mets trade to acquire that pick? They must have. because as the Mets, you know, he was a Mets selection.
Yeah,
he was, in fairness, underslot there. Like, he did not sign for, yeah, like $500,000 less than Halpin. He was a money saver because that was, I believe, the Brett Batty and Matthew Allen draft where they kind of went big name. And
poor Matt Allen.
Yeah, so they went big name. So he saved them a little money. He was a lotto ticket. He was kind of a late riser in that process. Still got $850,000. Anyone who's that close to a million is a legit prospect. He was a high ceiling lotto ticket. But
also, the other they took Pete Crow Armstrong, I think.
Okay, so if that was Pete Crow Armstrong.
Pete Crow Armstrong and Petey Halpin were the same year as well.
Yes, they were. You're right. So no, it was not the Batty then. Maybe, yeah. Or Batty. It was might have been Pete Crow Armstrong and Isaiah Green. And says what? That was the 2020 draft. So that was the weird year. But
I don't have high hopes for him making it.
No, I don't think. Too passive. Some athletic tools, but not like a plus athlete. And yeah, I don't see it. He was a good lotto ticket, and he's exactly what we've seen them do, right? Like a recent draft pick, just like the Will Benson trade. They did it in the Lindor trade. I think when Bieber comes, pay attention to someone who recently got drafted. If it's
right,
like they might trade for someone from this year's draft class.
Yeah.
Because there's probably no longer, you don't have to wait anymore.
Yeah, it was a worthwhile gamble for sure.
Yeah, like 100%.
You know, it just did not work out for them. And a lot of people felt that was how it was going to go. And Josh Wolf, you know, same thing. I don't know how that's going to go either. I think I have a little more hope for Josh Wolf than I do Green, but Wolf has to stay healthy. Pete wants to know, what are the odds that they grab the third Naylor? That would be Miles Naylor in the draft, or is he unsignable being Texas? He's Texas Tech committed.
All those brothers committed to Texas schools. I'm just kind of wondering what the reason for that is. Because Josh, we looked, Josh was Texas Tech as well, and Bo was A&M, right?
Bo was A&M, and yeah. Naylor was Texas Tech, and Miles is Texas Tech. Doesn't seem like Miles is any higher than a third rounder at best at this point, right? Like, that's kind of stealing for him right now. He's
got more power. We talked about him a little last week. Yeah, he's the tweener. He's between the two brothers.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think Miles will get to college, but I don't think it'll be the Guardians. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Like I said, I think the third round we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Pete also wants to know, because I believe he's in Australia too. So shout out to our international listeners. Any Australian prospects in the draft? The Guardians, or I should say, this is back when they were the Indians. I do remember they did have some Australian prospects. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name. It was Greg Foggia, I think was the guy's name. He was on the captains in 2012. I think he retired because he was homesick, but I don't remember a lot of Australian players.
I finally remember the guy. It was Robbie Glendinning, who I saw at Missouri, and I don't know what he became. He was a DH from Australia.
I'm sorry, I was wrong. Jason Smith. Jason Smith.
I remember. He had some hype too. No one who stands out for me, at least amongst the guys I know. Sorry. There's probably someone, I just don't know. Who there is in this one. And I have a feeling it didn't go well for Glendinning, who was a DH in college and wasn't, you know, good enough at that. And that was like 2019. So I haven't heard from him since. So probably back somewhere.
Jason Smith, by the way, his last year in pro ball, he was 21 in low A. They had a 938 OPS, but he has not been seen Jason Smith's only 33. Wow. He's still younger than I am. That's fantastic.
So I was going to look up.
Like, I was playing for the captains back in 2011. I was covering the team, and he is still younger than I am. That is fantastic.
Robbie Glendinning did play on the World Baseball Classic for them. He's still in Kansas City.
What, Jeff? Where did he play?
The Worst Baseball Championship.
The World Baseball Classic. How dare you? All right, we're moving on.
The Worst Baseball Championship. Yeah, he played there.
Speaking of playing in bad leagues,
no.
Got a question from Ethan.
Move on. No. One.
The question is, Ethan is seeing people say that Welvin Francisca has Wander Franco as a comp on 1 to 10 scale. How ridiculous is that line of thinking? It's a zero. You cannot make that comparison.
-10.
Yes.
No, Wander Franco is probably the most hype prospect outside of
he's a generational talent
of my life. And he is not that. Like, this is a kid who was not the top player in his recruit. He was a well thought of recruit, but he wasn't even a top 10 guy in his recruit class. Don't let one or some early games. It's he could be great. Don't get me wrong, but it's too early.
Yeah, you can't put that comp on anybody, especially a 17-year-old already. And
maybe Ethan Salas, maybe a 16-year-old. But
yeah, okay. Well, Ethan Salas is already in low A at 16. That's a big difference. Welvin Francisca is 17 in PSL, and then Ethan Salas is 16 in low A.
And they were the same class, too. Just to
right, so out. There's a big difference there. Steve said he went to 4 captains games last week. Good for you, Steve. I didn't make it.
I'm sorry.
Oh. My life has been a little too busy for my league baseball. You are a jerk now.
I am. With the podcast jerk. Next week.
He went to 4 captains games, but he said the guy that said that was Dian Frias. What are your opinions? I gave my opinion Dian Frias when we talked about him. That's kind of the reason I brought him up, because he's having a fantastic year, and I'm pretty excited about Frias. Jeff, any thoughts?
You know, he's a guy that a lot of people have liked for a while, and he just hasn't put it together. He's putting it together, and unlike, you know, an Aaron Bracho or Corey Holland, I think there's more reason to actually believe that this one's for real.
Well, Aaron Bracho has just fallen back to earth. No shocking. And Corey Holland will too. But Frias at least is young and has never struck out the way Bracho struck out. He doesn't have the power also that doesn't have the power that Bracho had as well. He's a different kind of player. Plus, he's a shortstop and he could play third. And Bracho is like a second baseman just because you penciled him in there no other reason. So
I think Frias is probably third. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can handle short for sure. Second and then better third baseman, but definitely better than Bracho in a lot of ways. Our buddy Zach from the At the Corner podcast that wants to know, what are some alternatives you could see Cleveland taking at 23 in the first round? Jeff, this is right up your alley. So
no, yeah,
I've got thoughts, but I'm curious.
I kind of, Jack Payton is not going there. I'm sorry.
At 23. Come on. No, I know. Not 23.
You know, I talked about Honeyman. Matt Shaw is obviously, if he's still there. Golden Ledbetter makes a lot of sense in terms of some of the batted ball data. Hurston Waldrop, if he slides, is probably the pitcher to watch there. You know, I see some people because there's been like, and again, I'm going to point out that since Barnsby took over, Carson Tucker is the only prep player he has taken early, and that pick was never about Carson Tucker, it was about monetary savings.
Thank God.
And that pick is probably the single worst draft pick so far of Barnsby's career. So I do think it's going to be college. And I would look at the college guys. They have so much data on college guys now. It just makes more sense. I said this a year ago and people castigated me about it. And then they didn't take a prep player until like the sixth round. So I would bet it's going to be a college player.
College bet too, unless like you said, Hurston Waldrop gets there.
Yeah. The one weirdness, if I'm going to go weirdness here, if we're going to go, you want a weird one. Let's go with the local kid, Joe Whitman, because Keith Law randomly talked about, and he's the only one who's done this, that Whitman has first round run to some teams. And I don't know if Law has any connections to Cleveland, but he's been pretty good at guessing Cleveland picks over the years. This draft is terrible when it comes to left-handed college pitching. And Whitman is this weird case of like, he's barely pitched, but has one of the best sliders in college baseball with the high release point. And he comes from a program that develops well, which we know they say, like, typically they want bad development, but he's only 1 year of development there. So he's kind of also a guy with some ceiling potential.
A lot of so
a lot of 6'5" lefty who's hitting 97 with a 60 grade slider. That's something to be excited about because he threw 5 innings his first 2 years of college baseball. So that's a deep sleeper at that pick.
I could see that for sure. I do like some lefty. It's a deep lefty thing, but I like Zach Thornton and I like obviously I like Sean Sullivan.
Yeah, no, I mean those guys are there.
But it's not great. Not great. I'd be curious to see what happens with
Hunter Owen was supposed to be the guy. I don't think he's even on my top 5 lefties in this class.
Probably actually better for him that Vanderbilt's knocked out, so that way Vanderbilt can't abuse his arm because he's had a rough go of it. So
yeah,
maybe better for him. All right,
Vanderbilt's developmental pipeline, not what you think it is.
Jeremy Sowers didn't pan out. Are you serious? Really? Too soon.
No, who has panned out outside of David Price? Like Sonny Gray, right? Like wasn't Sonny Gray Vandy as well?
Sonny Gray, and you got to talk about Walker Buehler.
Yeah. Though he was hurt most of his time there.
And he's hurt again. Yeah.
Carson Fulmer has worked out so well.
That poor guy got abused too. Oof. All right, let's get out of here on this. We're going to get out of here on a sour note, unfortunately. But who has been your biggest disappointment at each level? He says each level of the system. I'm not going to do each level. But
okay, I was going to be like, you got to go first because I wasn't prepared for this.
I'm not going to do each level. Obviously, Jose Tena has been pretty bad. Not really super disappointed by that. I'm definitely like super disappointed in Angel Martinez. It has been pretty ugly so far. Strikeouts have been a little bit high. You don't love that. And he is still young for the level, but he was on a tear last year and he was pretty good.
When he got Double A plus while repeating the level.
Yeah, it's not great. And he's still young for the level, but it's not great. I mean, John Kenzie Noel, can I be disappointed in him? I'm sorry. I think John Kenzie Noel is doing exactly what I thought he'd do against advanced pitching. It is, you know, this is, I hate to say it, but this is the problem with that profile. So I don't know.
He's got a 62 weighted runs created plus. That is,
it's bad. It's pretty bad.
I think for me, it might be Jake Fox because I let myself get talked into him.
I'm here.
You and I were both like, no, everyone's overdoing it. You know, he's probably more passive than this and that and all the stuff we talked about. And then we let ourselves get talked into him and it's not been good. I think I was going to say Lavastida at first, but he's actually up to he's rebounded. Like it's, I wouldn't get focused on there. I think number two is probably Petey Halpin. If it's not Angel Martinez, you already talked about, but Halpin is improving, but it's still kind of disappointing where he is. And Mike Aprese would be next just because I did think he had a chance to play for this team this year. So that's batters. Do you have any pitchers stand out for you?
Pitchers that are bad in the minors. Jack Lockwich had a pretty bad run for a while. I know I talked about it as winning pitch of the week this week. That was good to see. Not really. I mean, Aaron Davenport's not good, and I didn't think he was going to be good. I wasn't really impressed with him a year ago. Tommy Mace, keep waiting for something more on him. Then those are the two Florida guys. Like talking about the guys that came with little development. I was expecting more for them. I've been expecting a little more from Ryan Webb. I know he had a great week this week, but those guys overall, I was expecting to see more out of this year. And obviously, you know, stinks the guys that have been hurt too.
Yeah, Webb was my sleeper, so he's been there. In the early going, it's that I think for me, it's Trenton Denholm, who I've always been kind of higher on than the field. Yeah. He's just not missing bats. And that's the same problem with like Austin Peterson, who was another one of my sleepers in the system. And Ethan Hankins in the early going. You don't maybe put him in a disappointment because it's so early and he missed so much time. But
that's been pretty rough.
Yeah, they've been pretty rough. But Denholm's probably the guy where I was like, I was full on buying his and Webb stock, and it just hasn't worked out so far. It's early, and I always put that on there. This is the Wes Hodges corollary, which is it's only half a year. Some guys rebound, some guys go absolutely in the toilet in the second half. Play some toilet tag where you push the kid's hand down, you know, spin in a circle and pop up. Maybe some of these kids will pop back up. And, that reference for anyone with kids? No? Okay, it's fine. But listen, the pitching's in general been more the minors been disappointing all across the board.
It has been pitching a tough year for sure.
Yeah. Long episode. We want to thank you all. Again, we're trying to get for the longest time, we're always in the top 100, but there's a lot more baseball podcasts now. So make sure you are doing your part by downloading the show daily, wherever it is you download podcasts. We appreciate when you stream. That's great as well. But if you can always download, that is huge for the show. I want to thank, was it Puppy Brand, who's known to the everydayers? He says he doesn't like me talking about sliding into first with Andres. I'm sorry, dude. It's not going away. If he still keeps doing it, I'll keep talking about it. Thank you to all the everydayers and everyone who likes, comments, responds. Thank you for being a part of the team, and go, go, Guardians, go.